horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
Hour three on this fast-moving Monday. I guess every Monday particularly is fast-moving when we've got so much to recap. And this particular weekend, in fact, is going to stretch in, I think, till Wednesday probably, especially because Jimmy Jerkins tomorrow after having the scratch and much more. So we got a lot to digest. And to help us take a hold of what we saw and how to interpret it going forward, Jay Pribman of the Daily Racing Form, America's Turf Authority, since
last night.
DRF Pribman joins us. Jay, I've settled on this new little shtick for one of the Friday visitors to come back and get a little bit of extra, a little extra victory lap appreciation. And I wrote about this Saturday because three of the winners, I mean, we're going to talk Derby Watch first and foremost, but between Life is Good, Idle, and Hit the Road, you were singing the praises, particularly of the two older horses, of Hit the Road and Idle. Before they were stake horses, you told everybody to watch out for them. And of course, Life is Good, before the horse ever had a past performance, you were telling them. So you get the Monday victory lap.
Well, yeah. Sometimes what's the saying? A broken clock is right twice a day. So I guess I had a 36-hour broken clock there. Three of them. But no, it was a good day Saturday. It was a good day of racing at Santa Anita. It was a profitable day, wagering-wise. It was a satisfying day with some of the results. And, it was nice. You know, it's nice when sometimes things you think you're seeing play out that way, and because there's plenty of times where you're swinging for the fastball and the curve breaks off at the end of the table and you whiff. So,
no doubt. No doubt, it's on the sports analogy front, it is a game of redeeming qualities, as they say, though, because 24 minutes later, you've got a chance to try again, and certainly on Saturday, after we had two legitimate upsets in the Gotham and the Tampa Bay Derby, and then turning the attention to Santa Anita and the essentially the star of the weekend, Life is Good, kind of coming through. But let's start where you started, because I see you just sent out the postscript analysis of the Gotham Stakes. So flesh out the Weyburn upset.
Okay, sorry. You said where I was. So I thought you were talking about the Santa Anita race. You want to start with the Gotham?
Because you just posted the written analysis of the Gotham.
It got posted to the website earlier this morning, so I just had a chance to put it on Twitter there, just to make sure people see it. But yeah, so Weyburn, it was a one turn mile Gotham. I've never seen the horse in person, but just watching the video of the race, the horse looks like he's huge, and I thought he ran a game race to re-rally and nose out Crowded Trade. It was a pretty tough beat for Crowded Trade, who had run once previously going 6 furlongs, so I thought he ran well. Dave Grenning wrote yesterday in the follow-up stuff after talking to Jimmy Jerkins, and hopefully you'll get him to elaborate more tomorrow, on the plans for Weyburn, but it sounded like the Derby's not necessarily in the cards, even though he's got enough points. He'll run in the wood next, and then they'll take it from there. This horse, on his grandfather on both sides, Sire Line and Dam Line, are both Belmont winners, Empire Maker and AP Indy. And Jimmy said that even though he's not nominated to the Triple Crown yet, he will be, but that the Belmont is more of the long-range plan for him. But it's certainly a solid race, and based on his pedigree and his size, he certainly looks like the kind of horse who's going to want more distance. And I thought they were the best two out of the race, the 1-2 finishers. I'm not sure what to do with Highly Motivated yet. I mean, he's been managed like a horse who they're still not certain wants two turns, and he'll get his chance in the Bluegrass next, but I thought he ran fine. But I'm still not convinced that's what he wants to do. And as for, as for Freedom Fighter, he just showed he wants no part of going long, and the rest were well back.
You know, there's some fun portions of this story, and you mentioned with Jimmy, and you know, it's so Jimmy Jerkins like for him, you know, for the first reaction to be, we're going to run in the wood, and then we're going to, you know, probably think about the Belmont. I mean, and of course, you know, the horse himself even has some ties to his own lineage, because this is the family of Sky Beauty.
Right. Yep.
Which is very cool.
Trained. Yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
Jimmy, you know, like his father, his world doesn't revolve around the first Saturday in May. the horse, you know, if they have a horse that takes them there, they'll go. But they're not going to force a square peg into a round hole. And they want to have a horse that's good this summer and fall, and obviously as a 4-year-old. So if he takes them there, I'm sure they'll go. But he's definitely on the one step at a time schedule at this point.
Well, and the other portion of this, of course, is not the Chiefs wouldn't be interested in winning a Derby, but the intermediate summer goal has got to be the Queen's Plate.
Well, I mean, you would think that, but they've said that they want to try American Classics,
sure,
first and foremost, and then. But yeah, he certainly has that as a legitimate option, being a Ontario bred.
Now, either way, this is clearly a nice horse, and nobody's going to get a chance at 46-1 again. That ship sailed, to say the least. Let's turn our attention to Oldsmar, and there was this. I don't want to call it a hodgepodge, but there was sort of this jumble of horse flesh in that Tampa Bay Derby, and we got an interesting winner, but one that, has got more questions to answer, it would seem.
Right, so Helium, now 3-for-3, one his first time going two turns, one off a layoff, one on dirt for the first time, and according to Marty McGee, who was at the race and spoke to Mark Cassie both after the race and yesterday, the plan at this point is to go straight to the Kentucky Derby. He got an 84 in the Tampa Bay Derby, which means he'll need to improve about 20 points over the next 8 weeks. So I wish them luck.
Yeah, and we just talked to John Green, and they're gonna see where he is. I mean, we've had two recent Tampa winners try this gambit, and Destin. I had to remind myself that Destin actually ran okay in his Derby when they tried it. Less successful last year, and some of those decisions continue to sort of vex King Guillermo. Hidden Stash. Feels like he'll go forward. Vicky Oliver talking about the Bluegrass for him next.
Right, that makes sense. I mean, that's the home for Vicky Oliver most of the year, so that certainly makes sense. And he ran a decent race. You know, I was, as you know, on Friday, I was very much against him. I thought he got the trip of life last time, but he ran another solid race, but he kind of hung, I thought, at the end. And I mean, if the winner needs to improve 20 points, 20 points, Hidden Stash needs to improve, 20 or 21. So, and you would think he would face much stronger competition in the Bluegrass than he did in the Tampa Bay Derby, which I think your use of the word hodgepodge is appropriate for what showed up there. Helium, I'm sure, will go on our Derby Watch Top 20 this week. Hidden Stash is going to be right on the bubble as to whether he gets in or not. Marty's more bullish on that horse than I am.
That leaves us with the also rans, and you know whether you know some will press forward. I mean, Candyman Rocket was a dismal 11th.
Yeah, he was really poor. I mean, let's face it, the race that he had won, even though the Sam Davis wasn't a strong, it didn't look like it was that strong a field. And the three in this race that came out of there finished 11th, 8th, and 2nd. So it just doesn't look like it's a key race at all. We'll see if Nova Rags does any better this week. He's going to really be up against it, I think, in the Rebel against three really good horses in Caddo River, Concert Tour, and Keep Me in Mind. I think will offer a real good representation as to how strong or not the Sam Davis was. But having seen how those horses did, who ran back in the Tampa Bay Derby and what the fig was of the Tampa Bay Derby, I just think that's compared to the Gotham and especially the San Felipe and what we've seen in some of the other preps, like what Mandaloon's done at Fairgrounds or what we've seen at Caddo River do. I just think that group at Tampa is pretty far behind the top ones of the division at the moment.
Well, and we'll see. And what's happening.
Also, speaking of also rans, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, right? So I guess then Sitting on Go will run back in another two-turn race, since it's obvious that they continue down this path. I just hope that this horse gets a chance to go one turn again before he's completely sour on racing, because it's just been obvious for a while that's what he wants to do. And why he was here instead of the Gotham eludes me.
We'll see if the turn back is in the offing, and I suppose that Safi Joseph with Moonlight Strike and Pletcher with Unbridled Honor, I wouldn't surprise me if they show up somewhere and take another, take one more shot after this. Let's get to the main event, particularly after the results that we saw in New York and Florida, Jay, it felt like, this was going to be the race that was going to be, most important, win or lose. So when it came to Life Is Good, and Life Is Good wins and wins with tremendous authority and earns a very impressive early season triple digit buyer, but there's some questions that come out of this, and whether it's readily addressable questions or whether it's alarm bells, your thoughts about the Life Is Good and the way he was getting out really almost all the way around.
Well, he really was getting out through the stretch. I mean, I don't know that he was getting out all the way around. He was kept off the rail a teeny bit into the first turn because, as you know from having done this for a long time, if you have a headstrong horse, the closer you put them to the rail, the more aggressive they're going to get. And that's by design, is to not be down, right on top of the fence and have a horse who is prone to getting aggressive, give him the chance to get more aggressive. But, yes, he drifted significantly through the home stretch. And I wrote about it in not only my race recap the night of the race, but further deep dive of it in my analysis. And it's just a strange thing. I know Mike Smith said after the race that in the post parade he was eyeballing the video board and the horse was kind of balking at that, and he thought that he was distracted by that coming through the stretch, and that's why he drifted the way he did. Maybe that's true. Maybe he's just a completely green and experienced three-year-old who was so far in front, he was goofing off. The thing that's odd for me is that if he did it all the time in the morning, then I'd be a little more alarmed as to, like, well, what's going on here with this horse? But he doesn't. He doesn't do it when he breezes in the morning. And, you know, the video monitor's not on then. I'm not saying it's the video monitor. I'm just relaying the information here that this is not something he does when he trains every morning and when he breezes. He's only done it in the races. And he did it a little bit in the Sham. It was much worse in the San Felipe on Saturday. And I don't know. If he did it all the time in the morning, I'd be like, you know, this is something to really monitor. But he doesn't. And I just wonder if he's just so far in front, he's green, that he's goofing off. I don't know. I don't have a good explanation for it because of the inconsistency of how it happens. You know, not happening in the morning, but happening in the two times he's run in the afternoon at Santa Anita.
Richie was with us in the first and second hour, and he had a conversation with Mike Smith in advance of him being on TV, Rich being on TV yesterday. And, you know, you certainly cover Baffert enough to know, and Smith, to know, you know, how to read their reaction, and how much is trainer speak, jockey speak, etc. And you sense that this is addressable and you know that might be cured easily enough just with more racing. That seemed to be what Baffert was hinting at.
I would guess so. I mean, like I said, he doesn't do it all the time. He only does it in the races. I wonder if he would do it if there was a horse, you know, right next to him at the eighth pole. I don't know. I mean, it hasn't happened yet. I don't know what is causing him to do that. There were other things about the race I really liked a lot more. I'd been writing about how they had wrote a few weeks ago how they had put a new bit on him to try and give the rider even more control because he's been so headstrong in his first two races, and his works to me showed a horse who was relaxing better and wasn't a complete runoff. And I thought we saw a lot of that in his performance on Saturday in terms of his cooperation early in the race. So he seems to be a horse who will learn. I mean, this is only his third start.
Yeah.
And he obviously learned the lessons over the past 2 months that they were trying to impart with him regarding conserving some of that natural speed that he's got and dole it out a little bit better than he had in his first two races. So that, I thought, was a significant improvement for Saturday. And the other aspect of it, the drifting, I'm sure something they'll be wanting to work on prior to his next start. I mean, he's not going to be able to get away with that, obviously, if there's another horse next to him. But it's hard. I don't know what to make of it. If he did it every morning, like I said, I'm repeating myself now, but if he did it every morning, to me, that would be far more alarming. Because it'd be something that he's doing all the time, but he doesn't do it when he breezes.
Well, we're going to talk to Bob Baffert next, Jay, after we're finished. So we'll get more on the topic. In the meantime, where does this sit? I did not go through my American Racing Manual to look and see where a 107 buyer at this juncture, how that what kind of pantheon that puts him in.
Wow. Steve, I don't have that right at my fingertips to look up either. Next time you want to ask me something like that, give me a heads up before the show and I'll be happy to look it up.
Well, I'm just...
I don't know the answer to that.
This performance on the first Saturday in March, I mean, it just in general terms then, I mean, just in terms of how this shapes... It is part of what there is to digest, coming out of this. We lost Jay. I can tell. Yeah. Case, yeah, try him again. He said his line went dead. And actually, that'll give me, while Casey gets him back, let's see what's the closest racing manual I got. Is that 8? No, it's not. Here's 15. we'll get Jay just made me laugh. He just texted me. He's trying your back. I'm going to look while we got a minute at that at the San Felipe, because I am curious. I mean, to run that kind of figure at this time of year is, we're not used to this, to be honest. I think Jay's back now.
The Wilds of Carlsbad.
Yeah, not a problem. You're nice. It's funny because you're nice. I heard the distinctive sound. I can, after years of doing this, you can tell when something's going amiss. And I'm just trying to pull up. I didn't have my most recent within reach, Jay. But I just was curious if we go back to when dinosaurs roamed the earth, in terms of buyer figures, the last 107 was Medaglia d'Oro. How about that?
Noted.
That was. Oh, actually, you know what? I was looking up high in the mid, around 20 years ago. But California Chrome had a 108, actually. So as recently as 2014, we've had this kind of number, and it gives you a feel for, what kind of horse you're talking about. 105 point given, 106 Fusaichi Pegasus. Et cetera, Artax, a 108. And so this is a big performance at a key juncture. How about down the chart, Jay? Medina Spirit, Dream Shake was being asked to do a lot in his second career start.
Right. So Medina Spirit, I know there was a lot of understandable concern over the way he was ridden, because he's from the same barn and, didn't go after Life is Good early, and so Life is Good, was loose on the lead. There's a, maybe if he was in another barn, he'd been more aggressive, but I think if you rationally look at the last two races of Medina Spirit before this race, in the Sham, when he finished second to Life is Good, and then the Robert Lewis, when he had the rail and was sent for the lead and held on to win over the likes of Roman Centurion and Hot Rod Charlie. If you look at those two races, I think if you are a rational, dispassionate person, you would come away with the conclusion that Medina Spirit is best served by stalking and not being sent off his feet. And so I think the strategy that was used was, for that horse, regardless of the barn, the best strategy for him to do his best. The difference in the race Saturday, as opposed to the Sham, is that Life is Good never came back to the field. He couldn't catch him. But I don't think it's in his best interest to be trying to run head and head with him or any other horse of that kind of ilk. Any other front-running two-turn horse, I just don't think that's his best game. He's better off stalking, and he's just not as good as Life as Good. But I think if he goes with him, it's certainly not going to help Medina Spirit, and it's probably not going to help Life as Good either, if he could even keep up with him. He'd have to be ridden along to keep up with Life as Good, and I just don't think that serves him well. So I understand why could be concern over the tactics that were used, but I really do think that in this specific case, for that horse, that's a better way of strategizing for him, regardless of what barn he's in. And then as to what you said regarding Dreamshake, I thought he ran really well to come off a maiden win like that, first time out, granted against a loaded field, but to go from that sprint and go two turns against far and away the best field that you could have assembled right now in California for a race like that, certainly the best of the three races around the country on Saturday, I thought he ran a very good race. You know, it's just a lot to ask to run against horses of that, not only of that quality, but with who already have an experience edge on him, not only in terms of number of races, but going two turns. So it was I thought it was a good performance, and you know, he's going to be asked to come a long way in a short amount of time, and it's extremely hard to do, as we talked about on your show a couple weeks ago. I forget who the horse was that had broken its maiden. You asked me about, and I said, you know, how many horses have gone from the unstarted maiden to a Derby win over the last 100-plus years? One. So it's not an easy thing to do.
No.
And, you know, the one that won was a very good horse against what I think we would all agree now on, in hindsight, was a very moderate crop.
95 buyer for Medina Spirit, 91 for Dreamshake. So a little bit of a little regression off their recent performances, the Lewis win for Medina Spirit and the maiden breaker for Dreamshake, but both very credible that can, you know, go on. And I think I think we already knew that Baffert was likely to he's going to have to split horses up here and there. But Dreamshake, I think I saw that Peter told you that he's going to look to maybe to the Bluegrass, go out of town with him.
Steve Anderson talked to him yesterday morning. I was doing other stuff, and you know, that's an option. You know, or you could stay home. But I mean, he's, you know, Peter has done well going to the Bluegrass before. It was during the synthetic era, but you know, Dance with Fate went there and did well for him. So that might be. I think he's just going to take the lay of the land and see how things shake out. But I don't know how many are going to want a cowboy up again against Life is Good. And then that field might come up short, because Roman Centurion's going to, I'm sure, leave town.
Right.
I wrote in my recap, I really think he'd be really well served by going to something like the Wood. I think that would be a perfect kind of race for him. He's just a grinding type, and I think that track at Aqueduct would be more suitable for his style than what he's got to try and do out here.
And then there was the great one too, who chased and that took the starch out of him.
Yeah, he just ran poorly. I don't know if it's because his one big race was, or his best race, I should say, was the long time he used Lasix when he beat maidens. You know, maybe he needs Lasix. Probably not, but he just, that is a fact. His far and away best figure came
That's
the one
true.
Time he used Lasix.
That's true.
And his race the other day was very poor. I mean, he was done before they even got to the quarter pole.
Yeah. And I should, I'll take the opportunity, too, to mention one of the stories from the weekend. Doug O'Neill hit with a 10-day $7,500 fine. By CHRB on a lidocaine positive. So that's a sidebar to the great one. Jay, beyond the three-year-olds, obviously we'll look forward to Friday and the Rebel field and any other developments between now and then. But the rest of the day, and we already referenced toward the big cap win by Idol and the first grade one win for Dan Blacker. That certainly got a lot of play on Twitter and elsewhere as husband and wife, Blacker, fetted for Hit the Roads, grade one win. I thought one of the best stories of the day also was Brickyard Ride, the cowbred and Craig Lewis, and Alexis Centino's first graded stake win.
Yeah, that horse just ran them off their feet. It's just another one of these clubhouse rides. They all can run. They sprint, they route, they run on turf and dirt, and you know, a lot of them end up obviously in Craig Lewis's barn since he trained the horse, but he's turned out to be a sensational sire out here. And that horse just, there was no catching him. He ran a terrific race. The Kilroe Mile was, it looked like it was going to be a top race going in. I thought a Breeders' Cup Mile quality field, and two of the three horses that I thought were the ones to beat ran well, and the third one didn't. I really thought Ride a Comet would run better. He did, but both Hit the Road and Smooth Like Straighter. Hopefully they'll continue having matchups in races like the Shoemaker Mile and moving on even further on towards the Breeders' Cup. They've both run well at Del Mar and in the past, so, and they're obviously top-class milers. And it was, you know, Hit the Road's a horse I just really think very highly of. It was great to see Dan win, and you know, the reaction from Christine on TVG was terrific. You know, Andy Beyer used to have a saying, there's no cheering in the press box unless you're alive for 10% of your annual income. That's the dividing line for whether you can actually cheer in the press box. But I think we can make an exception that if your husband or spouse is going for their first grade one, you're allowed to cheer, especially if you're, as it turns out in her case, not in the press box because they've had her stationed at the far turn by the old that old house that's between the outside rail of the main track and the hillside turf course. That's where she's been stationed. So I think you're allowed in that case to put your journalist hat aside and cheer. It was an appropriate reaction. It was great. I mean, they've done a great job with that horse. He's had a couple of little hiccups along the way, and they did the right thing with him last year and gave him time to come back this year. And obviously they're reaping the rewards of the way he's been managed because he's run two terrific races off the bench. And then as far as Idol goes, you know, like I said on your show the other day, just think that's what he wants is a mile and a quarter. And he finally got it. And the rider change helped. He wants to be ridden hard and, you know, muscled along, and that's the right rider for a horse like that is Rosario. And you know, he needed every bit of that mile and a quarter. That was a tough beat for Express Train. But, you know, Idol, that's, you got to remember, it's only a sixth start. I mean, he's still a really lightly raced horse.
Yeah.
And there's still, I think, some blue sky there for him. Would have to think that the Hollywood Gold Cup at Santa Anita in a couple months would be next for a major goal. And then obviously the Pacific Classic and eventually the Breeders' Cup Classic, which are all mile and a quarter races without having to leave the state. And in this year, the Big Cap, the Gold Cup, and the Pacific Classic have $1 million bonus tied to them if you sweep it. So there's that incentive too.
Hmm. Well, this was impressive, and for Curlin, another Grade One winner and a new graded stake winner for Curlin, Hill and Dale. One thing I'll note too, Jay, before we wrap up, for all of the efforts going into the weekend to invaders, horses coming from other parts of the country to invade the grade ones, the California horses acquitted themselves famously. Without a doubt. I mean, for Hit the Road and Smooth Like Straight, you know, to run 1-2 and essentially be, you know, separated by a neck, you know, and turning back everybody that showed up. And I'll also note the first time gelding Royal Ship, the Mandela trainee, ran a sneaky good race in there and maybe a little obscured when people see his PP's next. I'd keep an eye on him.
Yeah, that was certainly an improved performance for him. First time gelding and also, count again on the turn back and distance was flying at the end of the race. So it was locals definitely acquitted themselves well in there.
Well, there was also, I'll probably talk to Richie Baltus tomorrow, that performance by Whisper Knot, four-year-old poet's voice, making the fourth start. And he laid over on, you know, on class a little bit, coming out, you know, having competed against Smooth Like Straight, for instance, in the Mathis Brothers at the beginning of the meet. But that's a nice horse, making his fourth North American start. We'll keep an eye on.
Yeah, he is. He's a runoff. He needs to. It's going to be hard to do that against better quality horses than he ran against the other day. He's just been an uncontrollable kind of horse. I'd really like to see him if there was some way of getting him to sit behind other horses, but it hasn't happened. So he was just a runoff the other day.
And yeah,
he was able to go all the way. You know, the one horse we didn't talk about, circling back to the big cap, was Maxfield, who got beaten his first. For the first time, but you know, he ran a solid race. It's just like we said on the show the other day, he'd never run at Santa Anita, and you know, significantly, it was his first time he'd ever run a mile and a quarter. He'd never gone beyond a mile and a 16th. He hadn't even gone a mile and an eighth before. So you know, he ran well. I think the fig that he ran was pretty much in line with what he's done.
Yep.
His last couple races, he just got outrun by two other horses. It may be a distance it was slightly more advantageous for the top, for the two who beat him. You know, going back to a mile and a 16th, I would probably take Maxfield against Idle at a mile and a 16th. But going out to a mile and a quarter, now you're playing Idle's game.
It was a fun day, and it closed out, we should note, too, with that first-time three-year-old, second career start of Defunded, and that field is going to bear watching, you know, following C, the Baffert debuter that got put back behind Mr. Impossible, making his third start in there. That group looked okay, 86 buyer for Defunded in that maiden win.
Yeah, Johnny got 3 days for that movie made in the opening furlong of the race, and it was deserved.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And it's nice that they actually look at you know, at that portion of the race.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. So, well, but overall, it was a absolutely tremendous Saturday. And then yesterday, you also had the Santa Isabel. We'll talk to Baffert next. Beautiful gift in that short field that Baffert actually ran three-quarters of the group. But beautiful gift wins the Santa Isabel on Sunday. Jay, it was I thought it was a weekend that lived up to the hype.
No, it was a fun weekend. Saturday's card was just really fun, and there were, you know, owners allowed out, so that had a little bit of a buzz. It wasn't like it was a TV studio all day long there. There was a little bit of buzz there, and in California, the government officials have announced that beginning on April 1st, outdoor stadiums can start having limited capacity. So I'd like to think that Santa Anita is going to piggyback on that. I think the edict is in line with the opening of baseball season to allow some limited fans at all the, you know, with all the baseball teams in the state, between San Francisco, Oakland, you know, Anaheim, L.A., and San Diego, to have fans. And I think Santa Anita is going to try and piggyback on that. So hopefully, for Santa, you know, I would. They haven't made any announcement yet, but that's. I know they've been sort of letting the baseball teams be the pulling guard and trying to follow them, hopefully for the Santa Anita Derby, there'll be the opportunity for some limited fans to be allowed in then. So, but we'll see how that all plays out. But it's encouraging anyway.
Jay, I appreciate the Monday recap, and of course all of Jay's written analysis, the expanded comments, the expanded chart style comments, available at the Kentucky Derby section of the Daily Racing Form, and continue to march along. And Jay, I appreciate it. We'll look forward to some Rebel thoughts, and we'll look forward to any changes to the Derby Watch Top 20.
We'll talk to you later.
Jay Pribman, everybody. DRF Pribman with the comprehensive weekend recap. And we'll close out the morning. Got about 16, 17 minutes. Should be perfect chance to talk to Bob Baffert about Life is Good and more, because obviously, as I mentioned, he won that Santa Isabel, and there was also Defunded, and was pretty pleased with that at 9-1. Bob Baffert joins us. Bob, Life is Good takes the next step. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, he was, it was pretty exciting to watch him perform like he did, and so we just got to, you know, the party continues. That's all we can ask for. Just, you know, solid performances moving forward, and this year, the way it's, you know, I see a lot of nice horses out there, so I think the Derby's going to be very competitive.
Talk about the cause of the consternation, or at least the conversation, the way he got out in the stretch, and what you see out of it, and what you do, and what Mike has to do, you know, to basically address it going forward.
Well, I think a lot of it was greenness. He was that big screen. He did a little bit in his first out. I mean, when he won the Shan, he did second out. He did it here, and he never has done it ever. Like in the morning, he never. But for some reason, he saw it in the Mike noticed it in the warm up. He was looking at it, and I think Authentic was the same way. He was, when he ran the Shan, he was running all over the place looking at things. So I think he'll get over it. You know, it's something that I'm not really concerned with it.
You don't have to, you know, you wouldn't tinker with any equipment, anything that, you think that from that standpoint. I mean, you already, we talked about the bit change and getting, you know, a little bit of management from that end of things.
Well, he ran with the same bit he ran before. You tinker a little bit, but I mean, I think a lot of it is just his greenness. You know, he's out there by himself, and he's going fast, and he's just keep him healthy. That's the main thing, but it works out. I think this race will really, you know, will help him out a lot. He just needs to run.
Did it, I mean, from what you've seen Sunday morning and this morning, did it take anything out of him even? I mean, does it take the edge off at least for a few days?
He wasn't as tired as I thought he should have been, but he's so light on his feet. He gets over this really heavy stuff really easy, just really light, and he just goes over the top of it. And so sort of Authentic was the same way, you know, they are light on their feet, and they go over it so that they don't struggle with it. And, but he came out of it really well. I mean, he was, you know, it was for a horse that ran as fast as he did. I was surprised that, but going into it, I had him pretty ready. I had him ready for something, you know, in case there was anything, you know, if he went too fast, he was fit enough. So he's really a fit horse. He's got a good foundation on him. So, so that's why I don't worry about him like bouncing or anything like that, because he really wasn't blowing very hard. So that was a good sign.
Well, then let's go down the chart and talk about Medina Spirit, who clearly didn't want necessarily to engage and go head to head, but another nice performance from this horse, who continues to pretty much outperform. You know, certainly is not in his pedigree necessarily, but certainly his price tag.
Yeah, well, you kind of throw the price tag out. I mean, he's like real quiet with 17,000, and nobody ever talked about him. But he's right there. This horse every time he's a solid racehorse, and you know that horse came up to him, you know, and he held. He's a fighter. He fought for the second, and he wasn't going to go head and head with the other horse because the other horse, he's just too quick, you know. But I really like it. I think, you know, he progressed. I was hoping to run 1-2. They needed to run 1-2 to continue on, you know, the journey to the Derby. So, and he came out of it really well. So I'm pretty happy with him. I don't know where he'll run back yet. He'll either stay here or maybe he could go to the Arkansas Derby, give him an extra week. I'm not sure yet. I'll just, with him, he's a kind of horse that he doesn't need a lot in between races. And actually, the both of them now, they're pretty fit now, so I don't have to do a lot with them.
Well, meanwhile, Medina Spirit adds another placement to his growing resume. Let's fold in, before we talk about what's ahead, let's get some of the other runners from Saturday. Certainly, I personally, I'll say thank you, because I was all over defunded in that nightcap. And I know that following C, there's, you know, nice expectation, and it won't be long before he breaks a maiden. But it sure seemed to me, you know, having been gelded, and that there was going to be speed for that horse to come running, and having Rosario, I thought was perfect for him. So 9-1, I that was a gift, I thought, in the nightcap.
Yeah, I mean, he was always a nice horse, and around him in Del Mar, he really acted up in the gate that day, and after that, he was just had gate issues. He was not a good gate horse, so I just backed off on him. I sent him to Los Alamitos, and we yelled at him and just told him to chill for a little bit. He was he was getting too anxious in the starting gate, and we brought him back, and he was ready to run. I knew I could run 1-2 in there. Following C, the Run Happy Cove, you know, he looked a little soft in the paddock. You know, he's a good horse, he's a fast horse, and he just got a little tired there. But he'll bounce right back.
That one, debut, and got DQ'd with the situation involving Johnny. And before we talk about out of town, actually, and mentioning Johnny, some thoughts about the Santa Isabel winner yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that was really, that filly was, I knew, you know, the distance was going to be in her favor. Calypso, she needed, you know, she was, she didn't get the trip. She, you know, she's speed and at a distance, I think she's more of a one turn. Turn type of horse, but we knew it going in. We had to take a chance at it, but McCarthy filly just was on her the whole way, never really didn't let her get away, and the other filly just came running her down, and she's improving with leaps and bounds. So that was a good win for the Chews, and for the, you know, if you're thinking Oaks, a lot of the good fillies, they've got hurt, but I mean, she's the only thing I have for the Oaks.
Well, and she certainly bred nicely. I mean, there's no reason to think that the mile and an eighth isn't going to be to her liking.
Yeah, she was just getting going there, so that was good.
You mentioned Calypso and the likely turn back. So, you know, this is what this time of year is for, figuring out, you know, who wants to go what trip. Talk about New York and Freedom Fighter, who also looks like he's going to have to turn back.
Yeah, but you know what? I was just see where he fit. He's a really fast horse. He's a beautiful little horse. And he was just, you know, he's more of a sprinter. You know, we thought he was a sprinter, but you never know. Sometimes I thought if it's not that tough of a field, but I was actually impressed with the winner. I mean, he was right there with us, and he kept on going. So I think he's a nice horse. You know, so my big pioneer of the now. So he, you know, for him to be right there with us, I think that horse is a very nice horse to beat us.
We'll talk to Jimmy tomorrow, and looking forward to it as it happens. Wayburn, he doesn't seem like he's all that worried about getting to the Derby. His plan right now is the Wood and the Belmont.
Well, that's good.
Right? You like that.
Good for him. Good for him. Good.
That's Jimmy's style. Let me ask you too, because there's obviously the Rebel coming up this weekend, and I also should slip in a Spielberg question as well. Certainly had to be happy with the Southwest try. When are we going to see him next?
Yeah, I'm going to bring him home, and I might run him back. You could either see him in the Arkansas Derby, or maybe like the Wood, something like that. You know, I think he needs a distance. He's sort of one paced, and hold on for a second there. I got to give him. I'm still training out here.
That's you.
Half mile. So, you know, I was happy with his run. He, you know, he got left horribly. He was moving there. And so, you know, he could have given it up. He didn't give it up, but he was chasing. He wasn't going to win, but, you know. But he got left mm-hmm. there. But he showed some. You know, I was encouraged by his run, and he's had a lot of races, and he's getting better. And so, I think the further the better for him. You know, he's just going to come up, and you know, he was still running at the end, which was very. You want to see that? You got to have to be first or second from here on out.
Well, on that topic, what about Concert Tour coming up on Saturday? They'll take entries tomorrow.
Yeah, I think he's a really nice horse, and he's going to get a good test, big test. He chips, and I heard the track's going to be getting a lot of rain there, unfortunately. So I wish we had a dry track. But, you know, he's up against Cattle River. You know, it's going to be a tough he's a good horse, you know. So I think we're up for it, but. You know, it's going to be exciting. So I've always been very high on this horse, and I think he's a really nice horse and showed me a lot of quality. So I'm looking forward to that.
I want to bring up one or two that we've never talked about, and that includes the maiden winner, the Temple City Colt, that du jour of Donato's and Jill's.
It's not Donato's. It's Debbie Lanny.
Debbie
Lanny.
I saw D. Lanny, and I just assumed it
no,
was Donato.
No, I know a lot of people. No, it's Debbie Lanny.
That's
Debbie
great. Lanny.
She, her husband, he was part. They were part owners of Game On Dude, Terry Lanny, and it's Jill and Debbie Lanny.
Nice. Well, and what's next off the maiden win?
Yeah, he broke his maiden. You know, I was hoping he was going to be a dirt horse, but we had little derby fever for a little bit. But he just, I didn't, you know, Temple Cities, they're basically,
yeah,
they're good horse, but they're turf. And so, no, he's doing nice. He's, you know, he's just, we'll just run him in a little lounge race there and just play by ear. But he wants to go further. I mean, you know, I think the further the better for him. But he's a big, beautiful horse, and I'm just taking my time with him.
What about Hosier, who broke through?
Hosier, he's. I'm actually going to take him to the. There was an allowance race didn't fail here, so I'm going to go ahead and throw him in the Arkansas Derby. I'm not the Arkansas, the Rebel.
The Rebel.
Yeah, I'm going to throw him in the Rebel. See if maybe he can get a little. You know, there's probably too much. You know, it's asking a lot. You know, yeah, but you know, you never know. Crazy things happen. So,
well, I'll give you a parallel because I asked about Helium last week of Cassie, and Cassie said we're going to go ahead and run in the Tampa Bay Derby. So if if we're going to go
well,
on those
I
lines,
I think the realm's going to be a lot tougher than the Tampa Bay Derby.
Yes. But this looks, yeah, this looks like a horse that's coming around. At the same time, though, to be fair,
yeah, I mean, yeah, he's bred to go, you know, long, and so we'll see what happens.
Well, and who else? Who are we missing? That's coming up. Anybody
that's
I'm not thinking of?
No, that's probably about it.
Yeah. All right.
Well, anybody else is a little late to the party, you know.
No, that's all right. There's plenty of other opportunities down the road, no doubt. And Bob, well done, and we're certainly, you know, looking forward to the next step with Life is Good, because he put himself in pretty elite company with that performance. I went and looked up the buyer, California Chrome, Medaglia d'Oro, point given. That's the level that he performed in this San Felipe.
Yeah, he's a little quirky, but we'll get him figured out. Authentic was the same one. He was a little bit quirky there, but the raw talent is there. We're slowly working with him, and he's just, you know, they're like, you know, we got to figure him out, and you know, you tweak here and there, and but the talent is there. It's just unbelievable raw talent he has.
Well, that was on display. I mean, because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like he was doing that in runoff style. He was doing it within himself, it seemed.
Yeah, he's shown in the morning. He just, you know, and the track, and when you're running 142 on this track, it's really, really fast, serious fast, you know. So, but we're excited about it. Like I said, we just got to keep him healthy, though. That's the whole thing, you know. So.
Well, I think I'm just doing a quick survey. This was your eighth San Felipe.
Well, thank you, sir.
Bob Baffert, everybody, and Life is Good around the Baffert Barn. There it is. We will send you out into your Monday after a fun 3 hours with Bob Baffert just now and Jay Privman before, Rich Migliori, John Green, and Big D, Super D, Dallas Stewart as well. We'll hopefully catch up to Jimmy Jerkins tomorrow. Richie Baltus, we got to get to, and Dan Blacker, I imagine. Who else? Who else out there? Craig Lewis. I definitely want to get to Craig Lewis tomorrow or Wednesday as well. Andy Serling tomorrow, Tuesday, of course, and more. Replay 6 to 9 tomorrow here on SiriusXM. And later at the website, archive, and for those of you that get the podcast delivered to you. Hope you enjoyed. More tomorrow. Talk to you then.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only 3 states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Oh, Porschebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porschebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porschebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porschebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.